Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Car Show.
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
God! Tell the world that I saved you all.
Don't tell me what to do.
Iran has launched an historic attack against Israel. Iran sent drones and missiles toward Israeli territory.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I once had a potato mailed to me. It came in a FedEx box. It was an actual potato. It's because that within the Fox universe, I used to be called Humpty Dumpty.
I want to look like mashed potatoes.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
They need more cowbell. As they go down that first mile, downhill, everybody feels froggy when they get out there.
I ate more fettuccine alfredo and drank less water than I have in my entire life.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary. 844-500-4242 is the number. If you want to be on with me today, by all means, give us a call. The phone's been lighting up all day. A lot of people want to talk about Israel. We'll probably just round out the day doing that. And it is, the day has arrived. It's the global day of disruption. And Jared, why don't you quickly play part two, and then we're going to go right to you, Dennis, I promise. Cut 15.
As Palestinians face one brutal atrocity after another, we've watched them respond with collective resilience and fortitude. They inspire us to action. Their pain is our rage. For this, we are organizing and coordinating, and on April 15th, we will disrupt global logistical hubs and will clog flows of capital worldwide. In Melbourne, Australia, Taipei, Taiwan, Genoa, Italy, Catalonia, Spain, Miami, Oakland, London, Athens, Greece, Detroit, Seattle, Montreal, and in dozens of other cities across the world, we will identify and blockade major choke points in the economy. We will focus on points of production and circulation with the aim of causing maximum economic impact. If one city faces police repression, other cities will extend or expand blockades in solidarity. We will not talk to the police. Solidarity is affinity, and we have each other's backs. For 75 years, Israel has operated with impunity, but the Zionist project must end now.
If that's not an organized terroristic threat, I don't know what is. And, you know, in some ways, we were joking off air that it sounds like that scene from Iron Man 3, where they propped up the guy to do this like whole theater type of thing where it looked like there was some global conspiracy going on. And there was, but it wasn't him. It was somebody else pulling the levers and switches. And this obviously might not have gone off as big as they were hoping. I don't know if all those cities are participating that she rattled off, but if they are, like, that's a big deal. Like, and no one's picking up on that in the news. Unfortunately, they're just like, oh yeah, it's unrest throughout the country. Well, if it's this worldwide thing, well funded, well planned, well executed, you know, who's the tip of that spear?
I mean, really, what's the difference between that and the videos ISIS used to put out,
right,
ahead of something?
Right.
I mean, I'm not talking about like the beheadings. That was something different.
Right.
But like the ISIS would put out those type of propaganda videos.
Yeah.
It was like super terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is a form of terrorism. It is, you know, their intention is to disrupt the economy, number one. But they, what else happens as a result is people die. And, oh, by the way, guess where it didn't work out so good? Florida. Yeah.
Huh.
I just saw a little
weird
thing. Yeah, I just saw a little thing. They didn't tolerate that at all. Dragged them right off the road. All right, Dennis, you are first up in this hour. Go ahead, Dennis. I'm Toby Leary, and you're on the Howie Carr Show.
Well, first of all, Toby, thank you for taking my call. Enjoyed listening to you. So I really appreciate your references to, your biblical references to Israel. Mm. And in conjunction with all the stuff that's going on, every once in a while Hezbollah is mentioned, but if I'm not mistaken, it's in the north. And isn't the Valley of Megiddo somewhere up there? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, because it sounds like a concerted effort from the river to the sea.
Right. Yeah. Like I don't know if Hezbollah's, I guess they are, if they're from like Lebanon and whatnot, the Valley of Megiddo or Armageddon or Megiddo is right at the base of Mount Carmel, and like it's literally a battlefield that, or a valley. Let's not call it the battlefield, because I don't want it to be a battlefield. I'm just saying that it is a valley that goes from the northern seaport of Haifa all the way down to the Dead Sea. And one of the things that, another thing that was a biblical prediction that came true was that the desert would flourish, right? This was an arid desert, and Israel has made it a beautiful farmland. Like they grow every piece of type of produce except for like wheat, because they just don't have the land mass to do it. But the Jaffa orange and everything, and the way they did it was amazing, because it was like water's a tough resource there. They've actually developed a way to use brackish water in order to irrigate. And when we were driving around, you'd see like bags over a lot of the produce, because they want to recapture that water that evaporates and rain it back down on the plant. It's fascinating. Growing flour in the desert is not like something that generally is going to work. It's called a desert for a reason, but they did it, and it's amazing. So yes, the Hezbollah, and I think you're referencing like Ezekiel 38 and 39, the north, the cities to the north. And if you draw a line straight from Jerusalem due north, you actually go straight to Moscow. There's a lot of biblical references to Meshach and Tubal, and Meshach is the geographical location of Moscow, and also there's further references about them being the armor bearer. And so think about it, like what does a lot of the Arab countries use? They use Kalashnikovs and Soviet tanks and jets and whatnot, Soviet era tanks and jets. So they have been the armor bearer for that region. And so it's fascinating. I used to do a lot more research about that, but I feel like it's the Bible coming alive before our eyes in our time. So Dennis, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Dennis.
So is that pro-Hamas shopping boycott today?
What is that now? I'm sorry.
I said, is the pro-Hamas shopping boycott today?
Pro-Hamas shopping boycott. I don't know if it's a boycott. A shopping boycott. I'm not sure about that. I think what you're referring to is the video or the audio I was playing, and that is the like shutting down of the bridges and the streets and the cities. I don't think it's technically a shopping boycott. It's more of a economic disruption to clogging major thoroughfare and arteries of, you know, like travel routes. That's what I gleaned from that video.
Yeah, I thought I heard the spokesperson mention not shopping today. And if that's so, then I want to coordinate my shopping day to take advantage of the reduced competitors and maybe there's specials.
Yeah, you never know. That's a good point there. And, you know, I'm sure that the protesters who have their arms in PVC pipes and chained together are probably not participating in any type of shopping today. Hopefully they're participating in a ride to the Hoos Cow in the back of the paddy wagon. But, I don't know if that was specifically designed to be part of it, just to not shop that day. But the economic impact, nevertheless, is astronomical. And I would like to see, I know in Florida, they made it punishable by 15 years in jail. Will that ultimately happen? I doubt it. But I think, you know, there needs to be some serious implications for shutting down the city or the highway or blocking life safety response teams from administering first aid to people who are injured and need it and taking them to the hospital. So anyway, Mary, you're next up on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, hi, Toby. I wanted to say that I appreciated the points you made about Palestine, and I wanted to add to that, you know, you mentioned like Lebanese, Palestinians. Well, Palestine really is a region. It's almost like as if you say South America. I mean, there were and are Lebanese, Palestinians, all types of Palestinians, including there are Jewish and or Israeli Palestinians. So it's just kind of the word Palestine kind of covers different peoples who live in the region. So there are many different types of Palestinians, including Israelis.
Right. Yeah.
That's all I wanted to point out.
Yeah. No, thanks for sharing that, Mary. I think a lot of people do confuse that, and they act like the Jews stole the land from the Palestinians. And if you look back in history, there was never Palestine was never a country. Like you said, it was a region. It was a people. It was there, you know, but it was never a country. It was never defended. You know, there was actually, you look at the history of Israel, that physical location, especially Jerusalem. I think when it's been raised and rebuilt 25 or 26 times, it's amazing how many times it's been like burnt to the ground and rebuilt. So lots of different countries were in control of Palestine or Israel, as I like to call it. You know, I believe that the promise was given to Abraham, and wherever your foot will tread is the region. And it's very much described in the Bible where it is. Now, they never occupied 100% of the space. The Bible says they will someday, but they have never done that. But the book of Joel warns, and I'm sorry to go hard down the road of religion right now, but I think it's important because I believe the Bible is a roadmap to what the future is going to be. And whether you believe it or not, you can at least glean from history, and you can glean from art. You know, if it says something happened here and you dig in that spot, you're going to find the artifacts to support that. And so when the book of Joel talks about God getting involved ultimately, and that's what happens in the climactic battle of Armageddon, like it's the whole world descends on Israel and then God gets involved. And so you may or may not believe that, and that's a conversation for a different day. But why does God get involved? And one of the things it says in the book of Joel is they divided my land. And, you know, I found it really interesting that property and ownership and, you know, setting boundaries and borders and defending those borders is a very biblical concept. And you know, today we're seeing kind of a straying from that even, and like, you know, this one world, like borders don't matter. Like who says you have a right to this land? And well, you know, if God says you have a right to this land, then you have a right to that land. Like who are you to say no? That's something I've always almost found entertaining. But anyway, like I said, we've touched the third rail. We've talked all things. We've completed the trifecta of politics, gun. We didn't do a lot of guns, though, so far. So 844-500-4242. We'll be right back there after this quick break. I'm Toby Leary, sitting in for Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show. We'll be right back.
I can't remember crazier times in my lifetime. Now more than ever, expect the unexpected with ReadyWise. Always be prepared. At ReadyWise, their mission is to bring peace of mind to their consumers by offering high-quality food and gear at a reasonable price. ReadyWise relentlessly pursues solutions to help you be prepared. Go to ReadyWise.com, enter code Howie20 at checkout and receive 20% off your purchase. Or call 800-95-READY to speak with an actual person. That's ReadyWise.com.
He's Howie Carr.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show, and it's time for another poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Eden Rafferty's Attorneys at Law. To see what happened to Howie's leg while having cryo performed at Restore Hyper Wellness, go to EdenRafferty.com. Jared, what's the poll question today and what are the results so far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarshow.com, is would you want to be a juror on a high-profile case?
I'm going to stick with my earlier answer and say yes.
33% now say yes and 67% say no.
Sweet.
Still a gap.
Yeah, I think I gained a percentage point there. 844-500-4242. Got another the rest of the show. We'll take your calls. We'll get to some of these cuts that have been wanting to play all day. But let's start off with cut number two. We got a few of these good John Kirby cuts, so let's go with those.
Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and death to Israel?
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place, can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use it.
They can't.
You know, what Shannon obviously doesn't know, Jared, is that there's like a big bread line in Iran. And anytime some government official steps up to the front of the line, they say, nah, get out of here, kid. This isn't for you.
Integrity.
Yeah, we have integrity. You know, we're not going to let these funds fall into the wrong hands. I'm the keeper of the
eye in Iran.
Fungible.
Integrity.
Play cut number three.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
So you're not denying it, John. What you're saying is he said take the win. Be happy with there's only one child that's like in intensive care. Look at that as a win. And the fact that you had to deploy probably hundreds of millions of dollars worth of the Iron Dome and Operation David Sling and everything else, the Arrow, whatever the heck it is, Gideon's Arrow or whatever. I might be making stuff up now, but I can't remember all the terms of their defense systems. But that stuff isn't cheap. And the fact that air raid sirens are going off and people are living in literal terror, wondering if like one of these cruise missiles going to hit their house because they're indiscriminately firing them at civilian targets. They want as many mass casualties as possible. And, but you know, treat this as a victory, Benjamin. Don't you dare respond. Like just take the win and be happy. It's like, you know, the guy was trying to break down your door to kill your wife and kids. And, you know, you had some good reinforcement in there and he wasn't able to get through. And, you know, look at that as a win. Yeah, your front door's destroyed. You got to put a new one on there. It cost you a ton of money. You had a sleepless night and you're worried about your wife and kids. But that's a win. Play cut number four.
The president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that we can make good on our commitment to defend Israel. It tells me that Israel does have superior military capability. Just think about the hardware that Iran threw into the sky and how little damage that caused. I mean,
we'll be back. This is the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Lear.
From the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary, and the number here is 844-500-4242. Give us a call if you want to be on the phone and talk about anything we've been talking about today. I still haven't even got to like the whole Trump trial in New York. And it's amazing. Like, what does he need to be there for? He's got a team of lawyers. He's sitting there. They're doing jury selection. Barron is going to be graduating. And they asked the court if he could miss the day for his son's graduation. And they didn't even say, like, yeah, we can make that happen. They were like,
no, you'll go to jail.
Right. No, you'll go to jail if you miss a day. And it's like, this is obviously a political stunt to get him off the campaign trail. Like, he should be campaigning right now. He should be doing, this is so unconstitutional in my mind. Like, if you think that what he did was so bad that you just have to resurrect it, dust off the statute of limitations, change the law so that it can be rendered a felony instead of a misdemeanor, and, you know, it has to be done during the middle of a presidential campaign. We've crossed a new Rubicon in American law enforcement tactics and prosecutions. And now, you know, this is like, in my opinion, KGB type stuff. Like, the only difference is they're not bringing them in back rooms and sweating them and freezing them and, you know, doing all kinds of torture. But it's another form of torture. It's another form of unorthodox fighting or tactics, if you will. And it's like, jam up the courts, jam him up in the courts, make sure he can't leave, make sure he can't talk about it, make sure, you know, his lawyers can't go on and defend him in the public space. And meanwhile, media can paint whatever picture they want. They can put him falling asleep in court. They can, you know, put all these political hacks on the shows and talk about, you know, how bad a guy he is. And thankfully, he's finally getting justice and, you know, he's a threat to democracy. You know, that, I love that one. That one comes out almost every time. It's like, you know, the guy who wants to have same day in-person voting with voter ID and be allowed to be on the ballot and run for office is a threat to democracy, our democracy. And, you know, the funniest part of that is, and I know I've used that phrase a lot today, and sometimes it's in a ha-ha sense, sometimes it's in a peculiar sense, but this time it's in a peculiar sense, is you wouldn't tolerate it for a second if the shoe was on the other foot, and media would be decrying the crumbling of American civilization, and they would be throwing around the democracy word nonstop. And that word is like that scene in The Princess Bride where he's like, you keep using that word. I do not believe that means what you believe it means. You know, he's like, democracy isn't what people tout it to be. We are not a democracy. We are a representative republic. And I know that doesn't sound as good to say on the talking head shows, and you can't gin up as much like fire in the bosom about that, because democracy means like the people get to decide. And, you know, we have a form of that, but our founders were brilliant, because if it wasn't for the representative republic that we have in the modern era, and it still comes scarily close to this, but, you know, California, New York, Chicago, and Massachusetts would probably decide every election, those four places, just by sheer numbers, right? And so giving a voice to Alaska and Oklahoma and Wisconsin and Wyoming and the places where there isn't huge amounts of people was a brilliant way to do it. So, you know, I do believe that we live in the greatest country mankind has ever witnessed, and yet made plenty of mistakes in the process, ironed out some things that shouldn't have been there, and got some things right that were wrong. But regardless, that, you know, all the bad things that did happen, I believe it was divine providence that we were established and are the country that we are. And I don't believe we're done being the greatest country in the world. That's my hope and that's my optimism. I do believe in America, and I believe that the people that are here are some of the most fortunate people on earth. And there's a reason why everyone wants to come here, right? You know, we talk a lot about the border crisis. We talk about illegal aliens and immigrants and being here. There's a reason they want to come here. And I'm not going to say that they're all good reasons. There's some people who want to come here for nefarious reasons. Hey, and speaking of which, Jared, if you can play cut 9. I think it was the same rally, and it's not the cut I was thinking, but the same rally, they were teaching the crowd how to say death to Israel. And then it evolved into death to America. And they're in America saying death to America and death to Israel in, I forget what language it was, Farsi or something. And if I got that wrong, you can blow up the chat, but it was, I thought, very telling that, you know, an incredibly, I keep using the word ironic too, that the country that allows you to say those things are, you are trying and you're proffering the idea that that country should cease to exist. Amazing to me. Let's go back to the phones. David, you are next on the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead, David.
Thanks, Toby. I just wonder, is anybody out there that actually thinks Hunter Biden paid his fair share of taxes? Did Joe Biden pay his fair share when he got 10% for the big guy? That's the threat to democracy. We got a guy lecturing us about the threats to democracy who's been on the take for years, not paying their taxes. Scamming, lying to the American people. That is the threat to democracy. Such a BS artist. Is there anybody out there that thinks that Hunter Biden or Joe Biden has paid their fair share?
I mean, just on that subject alone, like, you could do a 4-hour show, because, you know, here we are witnessing a former president stand trial in New York on multiple things, right? And let's even just take the one down in Florida, the sensitive documents, classified documents one. And the sitting president did the same thing when he was senator and when he was vice president, which is illegal. And there's no here. There's no there here, right? There's nothing there. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. Yet we're going to take Trump to court and prosecute him, even though he had the authority to declassify that information. It's just mind-boggling. And it's like projecting that you are not doing something or trying to hide your crimes by projecting on somebody else for what you actually did is like right out of the Democrats' playbook, in my opinion. So I think they're made a master class out of that. But yeah, thanks for the call, David. Let's go to Jesse. Jesse, you are next on the Howie Carr Show.
Hey, Toby, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
That's good. I was wondering if you had an opinion on the John Coffman ruling in Lowell.
The John Coffman ruling, was it the
John Coffman ruling, the one... the gentleman from New Hampshire was charged with unlawful possession of a firearm?
Yes, and he was let off. And that judge, I believe, got that ruling right, that you don't surrender your constitutional rights at the border of a state, right? Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the Second Amendment has been treated like the redheaded stepchild. And I apologize if you're a redheaded stepchild and that offends you. I'm not trying to do that. But it has been treated differently than all other enumerated rights. And so a perfect example of that is firearms. Like, you can't go from one state to another and purchase a firearm unless it's a long gun. You know, there's a lot of nuance to that. But in a state like Massachusetts, if you're a New Hampshire resident where you're lawfully and legally able to carry without any sort of government permission slip or mother may I dues tax or something like that, you're able to carry under the Constitution. It's called constitutional carry. If you were to, you know, wander over the line into Massachusetts, now you've committed like four felonies. And that's exactly what happened here. And the judge got it right when he said, there's actually the Pheasant Lane Mall. There's a portion of that mall where you can wander into Tingsboro. And so did you just break the law by shopping in a different store in the same mall? No, like, you don't need a permit or a license or pay a fee or a tax to go to church in another state to, you know, go do a protest. I guarantee all the people stopping up the roadways today aren't all from that city. They're probably from other states getting bussed in under, you know, on the Soros bus. But anyway, that's, yeah. So I think the judge got it right. Did you have anything specific about that, Jesse?
Well, I was just wondering what you thought was going to happen forward. Is it considered precedent now?
Oh, it's absolutely precedent. And I think Maura Healey's Department of Justice will appeal it. I think they already have filed an appeal, and I thought they would be crazy to, but I think they did file an appeal. I should brush up on that to check. And then you also have the Patriots player, Jones, who was at the airport, who got caught with firearms as well. And he was fined, or he was charged the same way, but there was an unequal application of the law in that case. Like, he was let off, right? Or it was reduced to a lesser charge. And so I think that unequal application of law could work in our favor in the court systems here in Massachusetts. Like, you know, if you're going to pick and choose who you enforce these laws against, that could work in the favor. But I ultimately think all licensing like that should be struck down under the Bruin mandate based on the, you know, acknowledging that Heller was good law, but the courts didn't give good guidance to the inferior courts on how to rule on Second Amendment cases that come before the courts. Then Bruin kind of did. They said, yep, the Heller methodology is correct. You're to use the text of the Second Amendment. And if there's no provision in the text for you to do what you're trying to do, then the burden shifts to the government to prove that there was a historical analog and laws, plural, on the books at the time of the ratification of the Second Amendment in 1791. It's an 18th century tradition, analog, or law, plural, laws. And it has to be contemporaneous with the law that you're proposing or the law then. Like, you can't point to some obscure gun law and say, see, they passed a law back then, so therefore we can do this with the law today. No, that all was like stopped. And so all of the intermediate scrutiny and all of the tiers of scrutiny, or the people want it, like democracy, we sent our representatives there to do away with this burdensome Second Amendment. Like, they can't do that. They don't have the constitutional authority. I had a couple of state senators come to the shop, and we talked about this, and I said, look, if you guys had enough support in both chambers of the House and the Senate, and you had even, say, a supermajority, you had enough people on your side to ban Catholics, could you do it? And they like, no, of course not. I said, there you go. That's called a constitutional limitation to your authority. So you couldn't do it. I'm glad you acknowledged that. But guess what you're doing with your assault weapons bans and with your, you know, sensitive locations bans and all that? You're banning Catholics. You're saying you can't have that gun, because we have other guns out there that you can have, but you can't have the one you want. You can't have the one that's in common and ordinary use, but you can have whatever other one you want. Well, you could make that same argument. You can't be a Catholic, but you could be fill in the blank. You know, you could be a Baha'i or a Moonist or a, you know, yogi or whatever, but you just can't be Catholic. Like, but there's other religions. Go out and do your thing. So they know they can't do that, but yet they take all kinds of leaps in logic to get there another way by saying, oh, it's the Second Amendment. Guns kill people. So anyway, that's all I'm trying to point out is they treat it different. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Howie Carr Show. I'm Toby Leary.
Listen to The Howie Carr Show from anywhere.
Egads, what sorcery is this?
Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click listen to start streaming Howie live in crystal clear high definition.
I'm whispering right in your ear, buzz, 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 buzz.
Howie Carr is back.
Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. I've had a great time visiting with you all today. And a friend of mine just on the break texted me a story about this stabbing in Sydney, Australia. This Good Shepherd Church, this guy's a YouTuber, really. I've seen this bishop a bunch of times, Mari Emanuel, and he was preaching and he was live streaming, and the religion of peace showed its ugly head again and stepped in. And again, I'm not painting everyone with a broad brush here, but this, you know, obviously extremist came in and stabbed him and, stabbing people. And this is just 48 hours after a stabbing in one of the church, malls in Australia, in Bondi, where a man attacked five women and a security guard and killed them with a knife. And, you know, you hear people all the time advocating for Australian style gun bans is good for them, good for us. You know, it's like, no. And, you know, people had to watch in horror until the police showed up and gunned them down. And so, unfortunately, if people were armed, that could have saved some lives. And that's the unfortunate thing that we see play out in the news all the time. And you know where I stand on that. I'm not going to change my opinion on that. But what a horrible tragedy. And I guess the fact that it was all live streamed on YouTube made matters worse. And I'm sure they're going to change their regulations about what can be live streamed now and what can't be. But it's just a sad state of affairs that people think other people need to die based on their religion. It's incredible. But that is the world we live in right now. There's some dark times, evil exists, people. So sometimes you gotta protect yourself. You are your own first responder. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. But I had a great time with you today. So enjoy the night. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm Toby Leary. This is the Howie Carr Show.